Deplorable Nation, the podcast of the people, by the people, for the people. For your rights, we fight. You decide. Facts. Is it really conspiracy? It's all up to you, patriots. Never give up. Hello, all you beautiful, truth-seeking patriots out there, and welcome. You are listening to the brand new Deplorable Nation podcast. I am going to be your host, Deplorable Janet. You may have heard me before from my Brothers from Another Mother on the No Mercy podcast with my boy Tommy G, the Bod, and my brother Bob's Lessons. You may have also heard me on Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence with Jack. I am going to do this podcast for you guys and for the people out there that are seeking truth. Today, we're just going to do a very lighthearted introduction, basically, and I'm going to introduce you to my wonderful co-host, Mr. Matt. How the hell are you, my friend?
I'm coming live from you there, Deplorable Janet from East LA, if you believe that.
Oh, East LA. What's going on in East LA?
Well, I'm sure everybody's heard a lot of the news. You know, like today, for instance, if you want to kind of dive into it, I mean, or actually, you know, maybe we should kind of talk about how we've all started, like how I know you, because I think I've known you for a while.
How long have you known me, Matt?
Oh, God. Let's see here. Pushing 50, dare I say it, half a century mark. And probably, let's see, was it junior high or high school? It's one of the two.
Junior high, dude.
Junior high. It was Honey Creek, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we are old.
We are so old. You know what,
though? Hey, you know the great thing? Somebody called me a fossil the other day. I take that as a compliment. And then he called me a relic. A relic is something that you save.
Exactly.
And that you put in a museum and you pass down. So there you go.
Well, you're priceless. That's what they're trying to say.
I wear that badge of honor well. How about that?
Dude, you could be called a lot worse stuff than that. You know what I'm saying?
I have been called a lot worse stuff than that. But that's okay.
That's right. That's right.
So take our listeners back to how we actually met and any kind of interesting stories that you may have, because, you know, it's kind of good for our listeners to get to know the personal side of us.
Sure.
Because I don't share a lot of personal things.
Right, right. Exactly. I'd say one thing in particular that stands out, and this is probably going more to high school, but either it was a health careers class or some kind of class like that. I know we had one specifically, but times that we would have lunch together. And I don't know how you've talked to me all these years, because I was, you know, Mr. Smart Guy. And most people don't get my sense of humor. You know, I mean, everybody's got a different style or whatever. But
smart ass.
Yeah. No, but, you know, and it's like, I look at it like this. Seriously, if I do that to you, if I give you a pet name, if I do something like, I like you. You know what I mean? If I'm razzing you and stuff, there's something about you that is cool, you know, that I like, that I find interesting. But
Oh, my God. I was cool.
You know what? I will say this, dude, in high school especially, I don't necessarily remember junior high because a lot of it is a fog, but high school specifically, I remember I'd have lunch with you guys and be like, oh my God, are you dating her, man? Because guys would just chase you. I don't know if you ever realized, but guys would just faint because you looked like a little doll walking around with your big curly hair. So,
well, you know, I was always in love with your hair because you always had that rock star look with the really long hair.
Right, right.
And it was always so cool. And me, I had really big hair too, but mine just looked like I stuck my finger in a fucking light socket.
Dude, you had good hair though. You really did. You had
good hair now.
You had proper locks, is what they would say. You really did. I mean, it was like flawless shit. But I'm just saying, for if you never knew this, guys would come up to me and like, dude, are you dating her? And I'm like, dude, she's my buddy. You know what I mean? Like, she's the only one I can make fun of and actually still have lunch with the next day. You know?
I know, right? And I don't want to smack you in the face with a lunch tray.
Oh, dude. You used to give me looks, I swear to God. And I thought, I'm just waiting for her to break my nose. I was like waiting for it.
Now I did break some things in high school, but it wasn't on a male. I remember breaking a female's hand in high school.
Really? You can tell me the name later, but yeah, I got to know.
I'll tell you the name later, but yeah, I was sitting in the cafeteria. I was totally into sports in school. Matt was the rock star, and I was totally a nerd and into every sport imaginable. So I was sitting in the cafeteria after school waiting for a tennis match to start.
Oh, wow.
And this lovely female came up to me and decided that she just didn't like me, and she proceeded to hit me in the back of the head repeatedly, and I sat there and took it for a while, and then I got up and I knocked her to the floor and I stomped on her hand and I actually broke it, and she has pins in her hand.
Wow, what a way to remember somebody by. It's like,
I know, right?
She's sitting there when the weather gets bad and then all that kicks in, or arthritis kicks in. She's like, ah, deplorable Janet.
I know, right? I got picked on a lot. I got picked on by the hood group at school a lot. For people that don't know, Matt and I grew up in the Midwest, farming community, down home, good people. But we had this group that we called the Hoods, and they were basically the troublemakers of the school. They were usually known for all kinds of interesting, nefarious activities. Anyway,
it was the white trash kids, though. Just say it. It really was. It was like the bad white trash kids that had the long, greasy hair, which I eventually became in like eighth grade. I started to change, you know. I used to be real preppy when I first started in junior high.
You were totally not a hood.
No, I wasn't. I was a rocker. But I mean, a lot of those guys related to me is what I'm trying to say. I think that.
And I had a lot of friends in a lot of different groups at school, except for the bitchy crowd. Right. I don't like bitchy people. Do you like bitchy people?
Well, I'd say no. And you're right. There was definitely a lot of cliques. And from what I hear from my 13-year-old daughter, it's the same thing, except with technology now. So you can shame everybody longer, harder, and faster with video and pictures, you know?
Exactly. And the internet lasts forever. And don't forget that.
Thanks for reminding me.
For all those males out there that have sent dick pics to my inbox, please don't do that anymore unless you want them saved on a file on my computer.
Oh, God.
Greg and I judge those.
Oh, jeez. You're like, hey, look, it's flossing material.
I know, right? Oh, it's so small, it looks like a pencil. I'm sorry. That's not very nice. Don't mean to offend any of our male listeners, but Matt and I have been friends for so long that we can literally talk about anything for hours, and it never gets old.
I'm telling you, the other day, I think I talked to you, it was almost an hour and a half, and I thought 10 minutes had went by. It was really weird.
I know, right? It's kind of cool that all these, you know, like decades, it's been decades.
I know.
That have passed, and we're still just as close as we were in school.
I'd say it's been about
I had a crush on you in school, though.
I think it was about 30 years, dude, I've known you, now that I think about it.
30 I know,
years.
Right?
30 years. Because I'll figure if we graduated, we're 18. I'm 48, so, like, I don't
know. I'm older than you are. I'm going to be 50 this year.
Wow.
In a couple of months, I'll be 50.
Are you going to get AARP? Because you will be
eligible. It's so funny because they send me that kind of mail all of the time. Sign up for your benefits for your golden years. Golden years, motherfucker. I got a long life still.
You know what, though? It's like I really, really enjoy the whole idea. I used to laugh at, like, you know, as we all get older and stuff, you kind of hopefully change your perspective. But I do. I want to be like Michael Douglas in Falling Down. I just want to be angry about everything. I want to be like Clint Eastwood and tell everyone to get the hell off my lawn.
Are you going to be one of those grumpy old men?
Well, it depends if I'm medicated or not, I guess, right? If the stores are closed, I'm going to be angry as hell. Oh, man.
We're going to make a movie about you.
Oh, man. There's other ones, but they were all in the back of a car. No.
Those are the movies that I'm going to make a lot of money off of you down the road.
I don't know. If you make money, it's probably because they're going to pay you not to watch it.
Look away. Yeah. People look away.
I was like, damn, I made $2 million, but they shame me all to hell. I don't know if I really deserve this or not. My God.
Oh, my God. Hey, you want to hear something really fucked up?
I do, actually. Go ahead.
Okay. Most of the people that listen to live streams and stuff like that from me know that we have a pool. We spend a lot of time outside because my husband works from home right now because of the whole bullshit, bullshit corona stuff. So anyway, we have a patio that's separated. We have a part that we sit in that's really shaded, and then you go through a gate and you go to another part of the patio that leads you to the pool. So I was sitting outside the other night, and it was after midnight, and I kept hearing this noise in the pool. And I'm like, what in the hell is that noise?
Was it Nemo?
It was not Nemo. I get up. I turn my flashlight on. I lean over the gate. I look. I don't see anything. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, not only are you old, but you're fucking hallucinating. You're insane. Go sit back down. And so I go come in and go to bed. And the next morning, Greg comes over to me. And he's like, honey. He's like, I found something in the pool last night. And I said, don't tell me. It was a bunny rabbit, right? And he's like, yeah, it was a bunny rabbit. And I said, mother of Christ. I said, I got up and looked. I didn't see anything. I went to bed. The very first dream that I had was that there was this giant black snake in the pool that was a constrictor, and it was strangling a bunny to death. And he's like, what did you just say? And I said, you know, I told him the story again. And he said, I was going to tell you. He said, that's the first thing I was thinking about this morning, but I was going to tell you that to fuck with you. Now, that is how that you know that you're on the same page with someone. I had a dream I hadn't even told him about, and he thought up the exact same story just to fuck with me. That's kind of how you and I are.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. You kind of fuck with me a lot.
Well, yeah, that sounds guilty as charged. I mean,
what the hell did you call me in school?
Planet Janet?
Yes. Tell people what Planet Janet is from.
Oh, no. You don't want me to sing the song, do you?
Well, you can sing the song because you're a fantastic musician. By the way, everybody, Matt wrote our intro music. He is a fantastic musician in LA and always has been a fantastic musician. So kudos to you, dude, because I was like rocking out to that track you sent me.
You know, it's funny. If you saw how I record stuff, and I'm not kidding, it's to me, it's a joke. I mean, like, I guess I've been doing it so long. But it's just like, it's, I enjoy it. I mean, I love it to death. It just feels very natural when I sit down and just play and write stuff. I love it.
So tell them what that name was from.
What?
The Planet Janet.
Planet Janet? Well, I guess I have to sing.
Yeah, don't tell them the name of the song because that will offend the Karens.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what? I was just actually getting ready to sing the song, and I'm not going to sing the song because of lyrics in there that would, you know, I'm not going to do that. I don't remember where did I come up with it from?
Rocky Horror, bitch. Oh,
Rocky Horror. There you go. I have slept and done a lot of drugs since then, seriously. Like,
yes, that Rocky that Horror. Happens. There you go. Yeah, I was Planet Janet from the Rocky Horror Picture Show all through school.
God, dude, I've called you that forever. That's so weird.
I know. That was like your nickname for me forever.
I know. That's so strange, though. Yeah, you're right. It's funny because there was another show that came out trying to be Rocky Horror called Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which is actually a pretty good.
I've never fucking heard of that.
I actually was a shadow actor. I got to meet the director of the movie. A guy that I was playing with, his name was Kelly Mantle. He's a actual...
You were playing with a guy?
Playing with a guy, I was.
Dude,
I was,
oh my God. No, that's another story.
That's in Hollywood. Uh-huh. No, I played with this. I played in a band with this dude. His name is Kelly Mantle. Look him up. And he actually is a female impersonator. He's like a bisexual dude. I played on his first record like 20 years ago. Really good guy. Dude, you want to talk about some crazy crowds out here? Those are some of the funnest shows I ever played. Is all these guys in 1930s drag dresses, like seriously dancing to heavy metal. I've lived such a bizarre life. I mean, I could just go off on a billion tangents here.
Hey, you know something else that's really bizarre?
What's that?
I dated a guy once and he was like, oh, I love you so much. You're so fantastic. And then I find out that he performs at the drag club in town. And he told me that even though he loved me, he was using me to find his true self, which was definitely not with a female, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm.
So Janet has had some really interesting encounters in the past.
Oh, man, you and me both. Boy, I could write a book about that.
I know. We should totally write a book. That would be like the most devious book, and people would be like, oh, my God, when is the sequel coming out?
Once Janet gets out of jail.
Kind of like we were talking about the other day when people always post on social media those little memes that were like, give yourself points if you've ever been arrested, smoked dope, whatever. And I'm like going through checking all these boxes going, oh my God, I have not been arrested. That was the only one literally on the list that I didn't get points for, but
same,
yeah.
Same here. I've never been, and that's amazing for me being, you know, a bunch of different Hollywood bands and a lot of really crazy bands, very Motley Crue style and that whole kind of mentality. I've never been in jail my entire life, man. Knock on wood. So.
Knock on wood. They're probably coming for me now.
Yeah. Well,
you're associated with me, so they're probably coming for you too.
Well, they know where to find me.
So tell everybody just like a brief history. How the hell did you wind up in LA and where are you at in LA? Because LA is pretty big.
Right. Well, LA County is actually about 90 different cities. So like to me, when people, after living out here for 26 years, I think when people say LA, most people, if you're a native, when you say Los Angeles, you mean downtown LA. Because
right.
There's a lot of different counties. When I was in school, I started guitar at 14. I was in bar bands and cover bands at age 15. I was playing all the local bars back in Terre Haute and Illinois, right? Came out here when I graduated from our high school. I was 17, just turning 18. Came out to Orange County, stayed here a few months, went back and forth about three times, but I've been here solid since 1994. So ever since then, I've lived out here and lived in Hollywood about 12 years because, you know, I wanted to be the typical rock star that had the Hollywood address. And I mean, I lived in five different places in Hollywood. I lived in the Hollywood Hills and did that.
What was it like in the music scene back then? Because that's when like everything was booming.
Well, kind of. It was kind of the tail end because obviously in the 80s, like say...
Right, 80s was a big time.
Yeah, I mean, I was 15, so I was still in school. I mean, I always... And I mean, you knew this from hanging out with me. Poison, Motley Crue, all those hair bands were like...
Hello.
Right.
Totally us.
Yeah, that was totally our thing. And, you know, like our local Holman Center would have the concerts and everybody would go. And I was just like 15 when I saw Kiss at Holman Center. And I'm like, God, I want to do this. And then, you know, through trial and error, and I just got to the point, though, of like, I wanted to write original music. I just didn't want to copy people all the time.
Right.
And I was always wanting to be more of the artist and be real creative. And I like to be very hands-on, put the band together, like have the choreography, have little, you know, points where you're doing certain things. But
oh, sure. Of course.
It should be about, you know, your music because, you know, you're going to make the money off of that. You're not going to really make as much per se royalty wise by covering.
You know, you mentioned the Kiss concert. That was literally the first concert I went to.
I think it
was Kiss.
Kiss and King Cobra. Remember, King Cobra was the opening act.
Yeah. We saw them here not too terribly long ago as well.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so that was kind of my thing, was like just pursuing the music thing. But like when I graduated, it was 1989, dare I say.
Right.
And I came out here, I'd say 92 is the first year I moved to Hollywood. I came home at the end of the year with a 3-week paid vacation, but I ended up just staying home because I have to admit, I was just so screwed up on drugs, I needed a detox. So I pretty much just stayed home for about a year and I cleaned up, went back out beginning of 1994, like I said, and I think it was February of 94, I got back out here and put a band together, started doing, you know, getting people together and met a lot of my heroes along the way. I mean, I've just lived such a fun and eventful life, I have to say, out here. I mean, my only real beef with California anymore, of course, is politics, which is kind of a big thing. But
California has some very scary politics, definitely.
Oh, I know.
So tell everybody what you were telling me the other day about being on the Strip and who basically controls that Strip.
Well, like, all right, so I was married once. I've only been married one time before, and the girl that I was married to was an Italian girl. She was from northern Italy, from Padua, Italy, and she knew all the people on the Strip. Sunset Strip's what I'm talking about, and that's West Hollywood, actually. It's not Hollywood. All the main clubs, like the Whiskey and the Roxy and the Cat Club, I think the Troubadour, they're all West Hollywood clubs, so... Yeah, so basically there was a guy named Mario who was one of the first people I met at the Rainbow Bar and Grill. And the Rainbow is basically just a meat market. It's not a music club. It's just a bar. They have a bar upstairs and downstairs, and you can order food, and they have like rainbow pizza and all this kind of stuff. It's really,
right, it's famous.
Yeah, like I've met Lemmy there. I used to play Pac-Man with Lemmy. I've met so many of my heroes there. It's just like, you know, it's where you want to go. But yeah, all the clubs would be there.
I would love to meet Lemmy.
Oh, dude, he was such a sweet guy. He really was. He was so misunderstood. I mean, he was a total alky, and, like, he lived the life for real. But I actually knew one of his girlfriends one time. Oh, God. Speaking of them, I'll just give you a quick story. They did a daytime concert in Hollywood, one block south of Hollywood Boulevard, in an alley with Motorhead. And I remember I knew his girlfriend, and she was a stripper, and she was up there stripping in the middle of the day for like 1,000 young kids. I couldn't believe it. I was like, yeah. I'm like, dude, I am in hell. I'm in Hollywood. This is total hedonism. This is total debauchery. Like, I mean, literally, dude, anything goes. I'm not kidding you. You can do whatever you want. You can literally be whatever you want in Hollywood, California. It's frightening. It really is.
Well, and I think that's probably what's really appealing to a lot of people, especially a lot of young people, like Greg's son and a lot of the kids that he hangs out with, they're like, oh, are we either going to live in California or are we going to move to New York? And we're like, oh my God, please educate and understand why it is that you do not want to live in either.
Yeah. Not right now. Not with what's going on politically and all that. I mean,
it's insane.
I'm not real worried about it myself, but I mean, you know me. I grew up in the Midwest. I mean, I know about guns and gun safety. I know how to handle myself. I'm not worried about it.
Right.
Out here, it's the exact opposite. It's no safe spaces, bubble wraps, and don't call the cops. And I mean, like we were talking about earlier, you know, they're talking about, defunding our police or our school police out here. And it's just,
right,
who are you going to call? You're not going to call Ghostbusters and you're not going to call a social worker because, like we said, they're not equipped for it. And usually when social workers go to a house for an incident, they bring cops with them.
Right. And kind of like the funny shit that we were talking about in the Chaz Chop Zone or whatever. And, you know,
right.
And it was like, oh, we're going to do away with the cops and we're going to send a social worker in. And there was a video and she got knocked the fuck out. Now, what in the hell do you think that an unarmed social worker is going to do with somebody that is violent and hell-bent on committing a crime?
Well, they're going.
I mean, come on now.
They're going to become a statistic. That's what's going to happen.
So, for all of our listeners who may have missed this, LA actually decided to defund the police, to take like a lot of money out of their budget. And they removed all of the school resource officers, which are police officers, out of the schools in LA County. Now, I know your daughter still goes to school in LA County. Is that going to affect her?
Actually, I don't think it is, because I may have even said this to you before. Like, we're really close to our local sheriff, and I know a lot of our local sheriff. Actually, there's some people out here the other day trying to move a truck, and I always go out and talk to them, and I always like to make my presence known with them and know that I, you know, I appreciate them. You know, I've always been that way. My grandfather was a Conrail Railroad, so it's like, you know, I've been in police and stuff. It's fine. Yeah, it doesn't really affect her too much. They, you know, I've mentioned this to you before. Every year I've had some kind of issue where I've had to say, stop pushing the politics, stop saying this, stop doing that. I mean,
right.
I offered to buy security cameras 3 years ago, and they said no, they didn't want that kind of image at the school. I've done a lot of stuff trying to be proactive. And
what do you mean they don't want that kind of image?
That's what the
They don't want to portray the image of school safety, or what is it they're getting at with that?
The last lady said that to me, and I said, my response was, would you be rather known as a crime scene? I was like, so, you know what I mean? I was like, it can go either way, because actually about half a mile down the street at one of the public schools 2 years ago, 3 years ago, right after they got out of school, this kid got stabbed as a gang initiation. They stabbed this kid. I don't know if he was at random or whatever, just walking out of the school. And I go, that's literally right down the street here. I could walk there in 10 minutes. So, yeah, I mean, to me as a parent, it bothers me, because they always say it's school safety, but I'm like, I don't see it. I even offered to buy the cameras. I think she didn't want to see the cameras. And I go, then why don't you just paint them the same color of the school and it'll blend in more? But they don't want it.
And that's kind of the thing. I've told listeners this before on a Periscope, but when I was teaching at a college here, I'm teaching class, we get a notification to do a lockdown because there's an armed gunman
right.
that had just broke out of jail. This is like not where I live now, but where we did live was in Memphis, and it was a shady part of town where I was teaching at. Anyway, this guy had just broken out of jail, armed gunman on campus. We do have police officers that were on campus. However, most of the time you couldn't find them because they were trying to pick up chicks.
Wow.
So anyway, the school had zero policy in place for anything. Students were freaking out, and I was like, okay, everyone, get your stuff. Get down on the floor. Turn the tables over. Hide behind the tables. You know, lay up against the wall underneath the windows where, you know, you can't be seen. I'm like, whatever. I'm going to go out and check, see what's going on. I'm like, if anybody tries to come in, lock the door, yada, yada. Like, they had nothing in place at all.
Yeah.
Which is frightening, because I would have taken a bullet for any of those students.
Absolutely.
But they, like, were not prepared. And I'm like, yeah, hello. We're in Memphis, which is like the murder capital of the United States. Well, I don't know anymore. We're being rivaled by New York and Chicago. But
wow,
you know what I'm saying.
Is it really been that bad down there? Seriously?
Oh, psh. The crime down here is insane. Like, it's crazy. That's why we no longer live in the city. We live out in the country, because people down here are batshit nuts.
Wow.
But people out where we live now, yeah. Anybody tries to do anything out here, you're going to find a lot of people with AK-47s and, you know, AR-15s.
Sure.
At your doorstep. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Trying to defend and protect you.
You know, the neighborhood that I'm in, believe it or not, it's funny, because my mom came out here years ago. like when my kid was born and was just like, wow, East LA is actually really nice, because it's not what you expect. It really is. It's kind of suburb area. It's, you know, families and this and that where I live here, but it's, you know, certain areas of LA, you can go a couple blocks and it's fine. Then there might be that one block that's really bad.
Right.
So I feel safe here. I know all my neighbors, like they all know me. Everybody here is really cool. I don't have a problem with anybody. So, yeah.
So tell everybody like what kind of area that you live in.
Well, I'm not too far from like, let's see here. How do I want to say it? I'm not in the country, but I'm not like in the middle of the city. You know what I mean? It's like just all families. So
you're in East LA though, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And how many white people are in East LA?
Let's see here. Okay, well, we have Monterey Park, which is right by us, and that is like very heavy Asian, like Chinese, Thai, Vietnamese people. And they're really nice people. It's a nice area. There's a lot of really great restaurants over there. East LA, I really don't know. I would say that,
are you a minority is what I'm getting at.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Of course. Yep.
So being white in LA,
right.
In California, have you ever experienced any kind of weird targeting, racism?
Sure.
Anything weird? Because
yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
You're a minority.
Yeah. Actually, after the election in 2016, I was standing in front of her school, and I mean, you could just feel out here. You could feel the tension. You could cut it with a knife. And I was like laughing about it. I thought it was funny. And I'm very tall. I'm 6'4", so I'm kind of easy to, you know, spot. Some guy drove by and I thought he needed my help, and he pulled up, and me being the dumb redneck, I'm like, oh, can I help you? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, hey, and he flips me off, tells me to go F myself. I was like, wow. And then drives off. So I've had a lot of that.
Yeah. You could say fuck.
Yeah. I just, trying to keep it clean for the kids over there. Deplorable.
Are you trying to be PC? Don't be PC. This is not a PC show.
Well,
this is not the show for your mama.
I was PC when I lived in Prairie Creek. Okay.
Well, you know, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Right.
But we lived in such a gray area that was like no big deal, but like kids had shotguns in the windows of their pickup trucks. That's how we grew up. And you were friends with everybody.
Oh, pretty much. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it does not matter. Race is not a thing. Color is not a thing. It never was.
I remember Mr. Who was it? Dr. Heil, the principal at our high school.
Oh, right. Jerry.
He would come out into the kids'. I remember seeing him do this, and I was like, wow, looking back on it now. And he would be like, oh, you got a new shotgun. They'd pull it out. They'd look at it together. And he'd be like, just, you know, clean it, put it back in your truck, watch the kid put it in the truck, and they'd walk in together talking about the gun.
I know, right?
And I'm like, dude, you'd never see this these days. You just wouldn't. I mean.
But that's the kind of great, like, community that we grew up in. There wasn't a lot of crime. There wasn't a lot of violence. And people they got your back there. I mean, like you, I know if I needed something, like, drastic, you would be out here in a heartbeat to help me.
Oh, of course. There's no question.
And me for you, same thing.
Absolutely. I know a lot of people like that, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, and it's amazing because I think a lot of that stuff went by the wayside, like when they started taking prayer out of school and taking, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance out of school and things like that, and trying to destroy, you know, church and family values and all that kind of stuff. I think that changed a lot of people. But we were lucky enough to grow up in that era still.
You know, I'm glad. I love technology, and I always say this to my kids.
I don't.
I love it, but I don't like how we're using it. That's what I'm going to say. Like, everything that we were told we were going to use it for, and like, you know, we were all romanced with it. Like, oh, you can, you know, how we can communicate and stay in touch with people you haven't seen or if you live far away. But it's just like, it's become so perverted, dude. Everything is just a way to track you, trap you, whatever. Like, you know, look at TikTok, look at these Chinese apps and stuff that they have. And it's just,
And you know, I was reading something today that is really, really fucked up about Bill Gates. doing a sweetheart deal for contact tracing with a member of Congress 6 months before coronavirus ever hit. And it was for like $100 million for contact tracing before this ever hit. Now tell me again, because I know our listeners don't know, but you used to be a Bill Gates fanboy.
Oh, like I loved Microsoft stuff, absolutely.
Yeah. And I have always known that he was the devil incarnate. And do you remember when I called you and I'm like, hey, dude, let me tell you some stuff about Bill Gates. And right. You're like, what?
I know.
And you got your daughter checking on the computer while we're having these conversations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, I was stunned. I've spent a lot of money on their products over the years. I mean, seriously.
I know, right?
I've spent a lot of money. And I'm sitting here with, you know, I'm a big video game guy. So I have Xbox for me. I got one for my kid. I got a PlayStation. And I'm like, I'm serious. Lately, I've been playing the PlayStation because I'm just like, I don't know. As I get older, like, dude, that kind of stuff bothers me. Like, what are you doing with my money? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, I didn't see you. You're not a doctor. What are you doing? Like,
well, he's developing vaccines to like kill off our population like he's done in other countries.
I've read on that.
But I thought that was interesting that 6 months beforehand, he developed this deal, sweetheart deal for $100 million for contact tracing. And now, oh my God, warning about swine flu 2.0.
Oh boy.
Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen that. Go ahead. Tell me. I'm interested in this. Go ahead.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that it came out that there's this, oh my God, really dangerous. It could have the effects of a massive pandemic, even worse than the coronavirus, discovered in where? Fucking China.
Oh, geez.
Now, I don't have a problem with the Chinese people, because the Chinese people are not at fault here.
Right. It's the government, of course.
It's the government, the CCP, because they have infiltrated literally anything and everything. All these professors at all these big universities are all getting arrested for all this money, working for the universities and also double working for the Chinese government, stealing information, selling it to them. Facebook was caught before selling shit to China. You know, all these people, China has their hand in fucking everything. China is part of the Bilderberg Group. China owns a lot of the media stuff. I mean, look at the mainstream media with this whole COVID horseshit.
Right.
I'm going to say horseshit because that's my favorite word. So, like, they're like, oh my God, you can't call it Kung Flu. Oh my God, you can't call it China virus. You can't do any of that because that's racist. Motherfucker, the shit came from China, from a fucking lab that goddamn fucking Obama funded while he was still in office. And that's the lab the shit came from. And now all of a sudden we have swine flu 2.0. Do you remember when this swine flu hit?
Yeah, no, I remember. And they
like
were still,
years ago.
Yeah, it's been like 10 years or something like that.
And like, a lot of the kids were not allowed back in school until they got the vaccination for the swine flu.
Oh, yeah. No, they're going to try the same thing. I guarantee you, of course.
Exactly. Now, what do you do if you're in a situation where they're like, either your daughter can come to school if she gets vaccinated for the coronavirus, or she can't come to school until she does?
I'd say.
What would you do?
Probably hope just the online, just talk, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it almost seems though in a way too that it's kind of being pushed that way. You know what I mean? You're damned if you do, damned if you don't, right?
Exactly.
So I don't know, man. I'm just, she's got, you know, let's see, she's got like 4 more years. So Next year she'll go to a different school. This coming year is her last year at this school I'm talking about, but high school is going to be something different. So we'll see what happens. But I don't know. I don't know. It's just she's like, I want to have a normal high school. I want to go to school. And I never thought I'd hear my kids saying she missed her friends and she was actually wanting to go back to school. You know,
it's kind of funny because Greg's son does that too. Like when he was out for, you know, like the whole Corona thing and he's having to take online classes and stuff. He's like, oh, can't wait to go back to school and be with my friends.
Yep.
And whatever. And I'm like, this is coming from a kid that really wasn't all that tickled about school for years.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I can't wait to go back and be with my friends. And we're just like, what? What'd you just say? That was so weird.
It just bothers me. Like, you got to have, like, when we were in school, like, we had the whole social aspect. You didn't have phones. You passed notes. If anything, you'd pass notes to each other. You folded up like origami, right? Right?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, dude, that was our tech.
Was the thing that kids always did in school that was like, my mother told me and I will. This way, and I'll get a car, and I'll get a house, and I'll marry Bill.
Right. I got the marry Bill one a few times. No,
people probably don't even know what we're talking about, but it was like a game where people folded up this paper after writing all these things on it, and then they'd like it had four points on it.
Yeah, exactly.
And they'd put their, you know, index finger and their middle finger in it, and then they'd like count and say this weird thing, and it'd be like, and you open it, and it's like, oh, a house, and we're going to marry Bill, and we're going to have five kids.
We're going to go on welfare and live that way.
Try having five kids nowadays. Jesus, there's no way.
Nah. Oh, gosh. I'm telling you, it's just like, woo. I mean, I got one, and to me, that's like, she's, you know, she's a lot like me, and that's all I can handle. So,
you know what, though? That's a beautiful thing, because you're a beautiful person. Your daughter is the most amazing person. I'm telling you, people, this girl is genius. She's not only super smart, she's super pretty, and she can draw like nobody's business.
Oh, yeah, she loves that stuff, man. Oh, my God.
She definitely takes after you.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
My daughter definitely takes after me, so watch out, world, because there's two of us motherfuckers running around.
Oh, jeez.
That would be really fun to have her on here sometime.
Oh, absolutely. I will. Yeah.
She would probably be, like, so shy. I don't know.
I don't know. She's got me as a dad, so I don't think so. You know, I'm pretty vocal about a lot of stuff, so she's pretty there with me. She's kind of, you know, I mean, being that young, it's like, it's hard to break out of that shell. It takes time, you know.
She's awesome though. Seriously.
Yeah. I tell her a lot of stuff, dude. I really do. I try to keep her informed on, I'm like, this is the truth. You know?
And that's the thing that you have to do. And how do you, we talked about this the other day, and this is a really important thing for a lot of listeners. Cause a lot of people message me constantly about, like everything is so stressful and life is so depressing and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And we had a long conversation about this. Matt and I are the exact same on this particular point. What was it that we talked about as far as what is our feeling toward how other people view us?
You mean now?
Yes.
Oh, I really don't give a shit. I mean, you've known me a long time, but I'm just, as I've gotten older, I mean, I've had health issues. I've been through a lot of stuff. I really don't care. I mean, you've known me. I never have. I worry
right.
about my family and my country and my community. And like, seriously, that's what should matter, I guess.
And that's the beautiful thing. I guess being at the age that we are, it's amazing to us how so many people struggle with depression, struggle with anxiety, because you're still caught in that bubble of caring what other people think of your hair or your clothes, or you might say something that might offend somebody or whatever. So it's like your life is basically inside an eggshell. And once you like get rid of that, how much easier life becomes, and it's stress-free and drama-free. And, you know, of course things are still going to go wrong here and there,
right?
But worrying about something to the point where you make yourself sick does not ever change anything.
Right, exactly.
And so when you get to that point where I don't care, I'll shop at Goodwill if they don't like it, you know, whatever, or, you know, I'm going to drink natural light if people, I got all kinds of shit for that. But you know what? It's fucking cheap. I can stay home. I can have my beer, and it's fine. Because it doesn't cost a lot and it's cheap entertainment.
Well,
and I am highly entertaining when I get hammered.
Well, yeah, and you know what? It's like you're at home, you're doing your thing, and it's not, you know, it's not like you're drinking straight moonshine from the still. I mean, if you were, then I might have to have an intervention.
Ooh, hey, we should totally find someone to market that wants us to market their moonshine. That would be fantastic. There are some really good moonshine drinks out there, people.
I believe it. My grandfather and his brother, during Prohibition in Terre Haute, they used to run moonshine. His brother got caught, went to prison for 2 years, and the day he got out, he went right back to doing it.
You know,
there you go.
It has a really shady history.
Yeah.
With flappers and the red light district and whatnot. I actually took care of multiple patients that were really elderly that were working girls, I guess you could say, in a nice terminology.
Right.
In the red light district that had syphilis at like 98 years old dealing with syphilis. So. You know,
syphilis is like leprosy. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Keeps on giving year after year after year.
Man, you figure after 98, you'd be like, God, it's burning like hell. Nothing's helping me anymore. I'd be begging for the Grim Reaper to come and take me away, you know? My God.
We definitely have so much to discuss with people. I'm telling you what, you know, and what we wanted to do was kind of like, we don't always want to be really serious because we talk about this a lot that, a lot of people have lost their sense of humor anymore.
Oh, that's true.
Don't know how to laugh. I have a lot of stories, especially from being a nurse, that I would love to share with a lot of people. We don't always want to be serious about politics or current events or things like that, because we want to talk to you about things just like we would on a phone conversation.
Oh man, that's true. Absolutely.
Because we have these conversations all the time. And we always cover a lot of information.
Yeah, that's true.
But in a very unserious kind of way, which is kind of what we want to do. We want to bring some humor into your life, as well as kind of tie it to some, you know,
current events,
current day stuff.
Yeah.
Now I do have to address a couple things. You know, the whole Chaz Chop Zone in Seattle and their lovely mayor who was like, oh my God, they're wonderful. It's peaceful protesting. It's lovely.
It's the summer of love. That's what she said.
It's the summer of love, bitches.
I remember that.
So then we have shootings that start taking place. And then I'm reading an article today that not only have two people died and three people seriously injured, but they also had a lot of assaults, break-ins, burglaries, and a lot of high-level crime. So they go in, finally, to dismantle it, but only after Mayor Durkan herself the protesters got a little too close to her home. And so now she's like, oh my God, we're going to tear it down. We're going to dismantle it. Blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
So they start going in, armed people at 8 o'clock in the morning on Monday. And they're telling people you have 8 minutes to disperse.
Oh, wow. They gave them that short of a time? Wow.
8 minutes. They kept telling them repeatedly, like, get your shit, get out. You have 8 minutes, blah, blah, blah. One of the very first things they do is tip over all of the porta potties.
Oh. Oh, man.
Now, that is some dirty ass nasty business.
God.
I'm just saying, how gross is that?
Yeah, that's pretty rare.
And then I'm watching this video right before we went on, and I'm like, holy crap, it looks like a homeless encampment. There's tents, there's garbage everywhere and stuff. Now, these people are supposed to be like, free love, everything's peaceful, everything's free. Your food's free, your clothing's free. Of course, only on donations of what people want to give them.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so they're allowing these people that are communist, because that's exactly what this movement has evolved into. It started out as a good cause. It was hijacked, of course, by Soros and the Democratic Party. If you donate to it, it goes to Act Blue, who funds nothing but Democrats.
Right. Yeah, I've seen that.
The founders of BLM have been interviewed on TV, and they're telling everyone, we're trained in Marxism. The first thing is tearing down the statues. Then we're going to destroy the churches. Then we're going to destroy all the white people.
Oh.
We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Now, I've talked about this before ad nauseum. However, when you give these crazy people an inch, they will take a mile. If you say not just Black Lives Matter, but all lives matter, you're deemed a racist.
Oh, I know, exactly. It's insane.
Now, you know, from the high school that we went to, we had literally all different kinds of races, nationalities, religions, etc., etc., etc.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
We would never wish ill on any of those people. And every one of those people does matter. So this whole notion that every white person is privileged, every white person wants someone else dead or thinks less of them, you know, it's just a leftist narrative to me that is insane. Absolutely insane.
Yep, 100%. Exactly.
And when does it stop? When will they ever be satisfied? They won't.
No.
Until they completely take over and destroy all of your liberties, all of your freedoms. And my question to everybody that's listening is, are you going to stand up, or are you going to sit back and let it happen?
Right.
I think you know what I would do, because I'm pretty vocal and I'm pretty outspoken about stuff.
I had no idea.
Yeah, no, that's a total surprise after all these decades.
You fooled me, man.
But I mean, what would you do?
Well, you have to. I mean, it's like you have to fight. I mean, the mentality out here compared to where I grew up, it's totally different. I mean, you know, because you grew up back there.
100%.
It is a 180 degree turnaround. It's just like we were saying about with them defunding, you know, the school cops. And like you're saying, I think New York defunded their police department $1 billion. Like $1 billion, really? Like
they did. And so did Minneapolis.
Oh, Minneapolis, dude, is really looking bad. I mean, they might as well just go full on Sharia law. They're right at
it. Well, and that's what they're doing right now. For anybody who has missed that, they did vote to completely defund the police.
Right. Yeah.
Now they have a Sharia policing area where you are no longer under the Constitution.
Right.
You are under
Islamic law.
Islamic Sharia law.
You know, my sister converted to Islam and moved to Qatar like 30 years ago, right?
Right.
Yeah. So
I do know that.
Dude, we hardly ever talk. Oh, dude, she just, it's everything is hate of this country. I think she's brainwashed. It's hate of the country, hate of everything. And I'm just like, I can't subscribe to that. I'm like, if you're happy where you're at, be happy and live your life. But, you know.
Well, and that's one of the things that I really want to address, because all of these people that are out there that America is the worst country.
Right.
Our flag is horseshit. It stands for all these awful things and awful injustices.
Right.
Okay, so let me put some things in perspective for you. The United States pays for damn near every fucking country on this planet in a humanitarian manner so that they can have food, clean running water, shelter, mosquito nets, medications, etc., etc., etc. Money for protection, money for this, money for that, all the money we give to NATO to protect all these other countries. Think about all the people that want to come here, either legally or illegally. If this is such a shitty fucking country to be in, wouldn't you think that no one would want to come here?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I was taught too, you don't shit where you eat. I mean, if you don't love you don't love your country. It's like this. If you're married and you love your husband or wife, you stay with them. You don't leave them. I mean, that's almost
exactly.
It's like this reverse psychology, and I'm like, I don't get it. There's plenty of other
places. And so that's what I don't understand either, because all these people that think we are awful and we're evil and oppressive and all this other stuff.
Right.
We are the ones that are literally paying to support almost every other country around the world.
Yeah. No, it's true.
So if we're so awful and everyone is so oppressed, okay, everyone is oppressed here. Number one, every single person here in the United States that's a United States citizen, whether you immigrated here legally, whether you were born here, it makes no difference.
Right.
You are afforded exactly the same rights under the Constitution of the United States.
Right. Bill of Rights.
You have every right to make money, to get a job. If you don't like your job, change jobs. If you don't like where you're living, change where you're living. You have every opportunity afforded to you. And I don't understand how, for people that live in this country that are American, how they think it's so terrible here. You can vote, you can drive, you can marry, you can get insurance, you can get an education, you can get a job. I want them to explain to me exactly what it is that they find so offensive and terrible here.
Well, you know, I think one of it is they don't have anything else to judge it to because they've always lived here. And so we've always been given stuff a lot easier probably to acquire here in America, like you're saying, jobs and different things, right? You could be illegal.
Right.
Hop the fence, do it a certain way, have an anchor baby, bam, you've got
right.
services. You got more services than I do. But I also think because of how the media is right now, if you come to America, you can be anything, right, within reason.
Right.
But America's an easy place to make a lot of noise, and you can get a lot of attention, as we see over the past however many years, right? So I think it's kind of a combination of that. You've never been anywhere else. We all feel a little privileged. I mean, think about it. If you had to suddenly go live in India or China or North Korea, trust me, that's a different ballgame.
Well, and that's what I had an interesting Twitter discussion yesterday from a person who claims to work for NASA and be a recruiter for NASA. Mm-hmm. And he's very hateful about the United States. And I was like, well, you're always welcome to move. You could move to another country that is short on food.
Right.
Doesn't have hot water. Is disease ridden.
Right.
etc. Greg took trips to Russia. He played in a church band. They took a trip to Russia to play over there. There was no hot water. They have to actually boil the hot water and fill up a bathtub. Imagine how long that takes to fill up a bathtub.
God.
They don't shower. They don't shave. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like you get this hard, like, really hard bread, and that's like your thing. They don't have, like, dog food and cat food and stuff. They eat whatever the hell scraps they can find.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like people think they're not privileged to be here.
No, it's
so.
Yeah. Oh, it's insane. Like in downtown LA, I won't go into the whole homeless thing, but my God, the homeless population down here. And it's just like, it's a whole like another culture. It's like a whole nother world. And I'm like, God, man, like when I was growing up out here and I was working crappy jobs and barely getting by, I was like, I'm doing better than a lot of people are. I mean, I'm just grateful for what I got. I'm not going to.
Right.
Obviously, I want to get ahead and make more money and do better and get the nicer house or a nicer apartment or whatever. But yeah,
right.
people are just ungrateful. And I think a lot of it is in movies, is in music. And I hate to say that as a musician, because a lot of the songs, you know, depending on the style, are not, you know, nice to women, are, you know.
Right.
You know, it's just degrading stuff. And it's funny to me.
And it's, I think that's our culture anymore.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Where that's like so mainstream that it's okay to be disrespectful to like women and cops and
elderly people.
Elderly people and Bill Gates. Sorry, had to throw that in there again.
man, God, dude, I have a hard time looking around at stuff. I look at it so differently now with that guy. I'm telling you, man, I did.
I know, right?
I was shocked. I don't know.
You're really fucking smart. So I was really glad that I got to share something with you that like you didn't know.
I didn't know about it. I mean, I've heard stuff about the vaccines. I've heard about like the India and West Africa and all that. And
right.
They got pictures of him putting stuff in these kids' mouths. And I'm like, how is this legal? Why is it like the international whoever, like Interpol over there arresting you, man? Like, really?
Exactly. Well, and a lot of countries expelled him and they will not allow him or his foundation back in. Same thing with George Soros.
Oh, man.
And can I just say, why is this motherfucker not on a goddamn terror list in the United States? Why is this jackass still alive and running around?
Because he has too many people of incredibly high importance that he's connected with. I mean, you know that. And eventually...
You mean like Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
Like, and all these people that praised him because, oh my God, he's so awesome. Maybe we can't do it without him.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, that guy, it's just... I mean, I looked back at his history and I remember reading up on him the first time and I thought... I had to reread it. I thought I was reading it wrong.
Exactly.
Wow. Like, dude, like it's true. Evil people like live forever. They just don't die, man. It's scary.
And he really has no remorse for anything that he's done, even back to being a little kid. People that don't know, please look up and research George Soros and his history with the... with the Nazis and the, yeah, please read all that because it's super interesting and he has no remorse about doing anything he's ever done.
Yeah, that's true. It's frightening. It's frightening to think that there's somebody who has that much influence in our government. It doesn't matter which side, but just in general. I mean, that's what.
Truth. I wouldn't care what side. I'm sure he has influence on both sides.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. Definitely. Not everybody's clean. I just think with what's going on now, it's it's blatantly obvious of who's responsible for it. I mean, there's just no way out of it.
100%. 100%.
I've seen a lot of videos online of guys who have been, I guess you say red-pilled. One guy I was watching, I think I put it up on my wall today, and he was like, dude, I'm a longtime Democrat. I was a Democrat most of my life because my mom and dad were too. And when I was younger,
right.
I didn't really think too much about it. I didn't really, realize the importance of it. But as you know, my uncle being a very powerful judge back in our hometown kind of gave me, he brought me into politics. He loved it. He said, oh, you should get involved in this. And, you know, so I.
So was there like a gotcha moment or wake up moment for you, being that you grew up that way with people that were so deeply entrenched in the Democratic Party?
I think it was just, to be honest, just doing my own research and paying attention to things and going, these aren't opinions, these are facts. I mean, you know, opinions are fine. Everyone's got an opinion. But if you think your opinion is more important than a fact, then you shouldn't be talking. So.
And, you know, that's why I'm so happy that I've had so many messages from listeners that are like, oh, my God, we heard you on No Mercy. Or, oh, my God, we heard you on, you know, conspiracy or just a coincidence. And like, you actually made me start looking up stuff and researching stuff. And they're like, holy crap, that, like, did you see this? Did you see that? And, you know, I'm just going to say it's like a proud peacock moment for me. When people send me messages like that, I think it's fantastic because you're finally, and it doesn't matter what age you are, you're finally waking up and looking at things and going, well, this shit doesn't make sense. Like, for some reason, I'm not buying what the media is selling me. I think it's fantastic.
Well, no, it should be its own reward. I mean, just the fact that you're trying to just share something serious that's going to affect pretty much everybody. You know what I mean?
It's right.
You're not really getting much out of this except maybe looking a little crazy, which I've been told that forever now.
That's all good with me. Yeah. But you know what? I did get a nice compliment, and this is kind of weird for me. But you know what somebody told me the other day?
What's that?
Which is really weird. But they're like, I've had several people tell me now, when they read my tweets, they read it in my voice.
I could,
and they're like, for some reason, it seems soothing.
I could see that. No, that makes sense.
I don't know about soothing.
I think,
but you know.
I think Tuck's medicated pads are soothing.
Oh, well, you know, sometimes when you're old like us, that does happen and you have to use them.
Hey,
the nation, the deplorable nation needs like a giant tux pad to deal with me, your hemorrhoid, deplorable Janet.
That's okay. Just keep coming back and inflaming us all.
I know. Inflame them. Inflame the masses, I tell you.
You're irritating, and especially when you pop it.
I totally am irritating, but you know what? I'm in your face. I'm not quiet. I'm not shy. And I will never shut the fuck up. So, you know, all of you people that are out there that are true seekers, true patriots, don't want to stand by and let your country be destroyed by all these crazy Karens and soy boys out there. Do it. Stand up. Make a stand. Because if you just sit back and hope that other people will take care of it, no, it's going to take everybody. It's going to take all of us.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely. It's funny. I think the rally they had in, was it Idaho? I don't know if you saw that, where they had all the bikers there, and it was like 5-1 against Black Lives Matter. It was hilarious.
You know what? Yeah. It's going to be fantastic because I saw something the other day that BLM wants to take on the Hells Angels.
I saw that. Yeah. Oh, come on. Put it on pay-per-view.
I'm sitting here with my big old thing of popcorn, bunch of beer next to me. I'm like, bring it.
That'll be the best 15 minutes you've ever seen in your life.
I was going to say that would be better than any Netflix or Hulu or anything you could ever possibly imagine. I would definitely pay to watch that live stream. I would. Oh, absolutely.
God. Oh, I think most.
And it wouldn't matter what the price was, because that would be fantastic.
Well, didn't they say they were going to go to like Sturgis or something like that?
Sturgis, yeah. They're going to go to Sturgis bike route.
I mean, isn't there like 10,000?
Bring it in your skinny jeans with with all these bikers. Okay, baby.
Oh, my God. Isn't there like 10,000 bikers or something crazy that goes to that? I mean, it's a lot.
Sturgis is huge. Yeah. We went once.
Oh, my God. Yep. Yeah, that would be rough. But, you know, I mean, hey, if they want to do that, it's like my dad said, you mess with a bear, you get the claw. Let them have at it. Let them try it. See what happens. Yeah.
Well, hey, maybe, you know, the stupid Congress introduced that bill to, like, who was it? Fucking Schiff, pencil neck.
No.
Anyway, he introduced a bill to, like, make it so that Trump can't use the National Guard in any circumstance to, like, step in to police or to arrest or anything like that. I'm going to say this right now. I'm going to stake my money on this. Adam Schiff is a little fucking nervous and is shitting his pants right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because I said this on No Mercy before, and I will say it again. These people, when they finally get arrested to meet justice, it is going to be through the military, baby. It is not going to be from the NYPD or, you know, Tennessee police or whatever. It's going to be military. It's going to be swift and fast. Adam Schiff is shitting his pants.
You know, I don't understand how he could even say, I mean, he's not the president. He can't make a decision on that, or he can't.
Well, no, he's introducing a bill to try to take away Trump's powers, just like, you know, Elizabeth Warren had designated this, what the hell was it called? She had designated this committee. She started working on it way back in like 2007. And then Obama finally put it in place. I think it was like 2010 or something like that. But it was basically this group that she created that creates or it's like a watchdog group that looks over all the banking and loans and all that kind of business.
Right.
Excuse me. And so Trump was like fire in the head of that thing because it's useless and it's wasteful and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And so she's having a complete and total utter meltdown, horseshit, hissy fit. Because she spent all this time drafting this bill, and then Obama, she worked strictly with Obama to set up this thing. And it's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that or not, but it's so fucking stupid. So they get government funding to be a consumer watchdog agency to watch over mortgages. Now, do y'all remember what happened with the whole Clinton mortgage?
Yeah, 2008.
Shit, debacle, crash, and all that crap. Yeah. Anyway, so they're going to regulate mortgages, student loans, and other financial products. And so Trump was like, this is stupid. This is a stupid agency, whatnot. The Supreme Court voted on it, and they voted like 7-2. That he has the absolute right to fire without cause the head of this. And they all but disbanded this stupid agency.
I never heard of this one. Yeah, I've never heard that. That's weird.
Because think about who else is over banking and finance.
Right, your Rothschilds and all.
That's from, a person in the Senate that's from, or in the House that's from California.
Oh, Feinstein?
Think of another person that's in charge of the Financial Services Committee that's also been investigated for bank fraud multiple times.
Well, there's a lot of them. I don't know.
They call her Mad.
Oh, Maxine. Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Oh,
yeah. Maxine. I know. Maxine. Maxipad. Yeah.
James Brown.
So, yeah. So, you know, you got all these sneaky, shady motherfuckers that are in charge of finance and banking that have been investigated for fraud, you know, whatever. Same thing with Elizabeth Warren. It's like, I am not a millionaire. Oh, well, I am a millionaire. Right. I am not. Uh-oh, well, I did claim Native American status, and it did further my, that's another story.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like, all these people, like, they have a guy on the Rules and Ethics Committee in the House that was a judge that actually got removed and from the bench as a judge for fraud. Jeez. And all this other horseshit, and he's like in charge of the ethics committee. Ethics committee. Yeah. You're a judge.
Right in front of you. It's right in front of you there.
It's a resume enhancer. Jeez. What party do you want to join? You know. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to have to get off of here. However, do you have any final thoughts for all these beautiful, lovely, truth-seeking patriots out there?
I'd say it's a lot of it's just very simple. Just use common sense, think for yourself, and stand up for yourself.
And I just want to say thank you to everyone that follows. Thank you to everyone that will follow. And thank you most of all to you, because you're a badass. You're a rock star. The music is fantastic. You're fantastic, and I love you so much, and we've been friends for so many decades, and I don't think that's ever going to change. So I just appreciate you so much for doing this with me.
Absolutely, man. Anybody else, so, I probably wouldn't. You know, like I said, I mean, we've talked about this for a little bit, and, you know, it's always better if somebody you know, right?
Exactly.
On the same page, so yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, to all the people that are out there that are listening to us right now, do you want to plug your music, my dear?
I would just say, yeah, well, I've been a longtime songwriter, guitarist. Just check me out at my site, mattmoss.com. That's MATTMOSS.com. And that goes to my SoundCloud account.
And I'm sure you already follow me, but if you don't, you can follow me on Twitter. My name is Deplorable Janet. This is your new podcast, Deplorable Nation. You asked for it. You got it. I'm going to be here talking at you live, large, and in charge every week. So expect more of that. Expect the lightheartedness and brevity. We do have a link on our anchor page where we do have our own site at Deplorable Nation. You can follow us. Donations are always welcome, never necessary, but if you are so inclined to do so, please donate, like, subscribe, download, write a review so we can get it out there. It's going to be on all kinds of podcast platforms. So for me, Deplorable Janet, and for Matt,
yes,
thank you for listening. Always stay questioning. Never give up, and always continue to seek out the facts.
That's right.
Peace out.
Peace out, kids. Thank you, everybody.